Hello, Bearers. Bearabella here. The Honeycast is excited to present the recording of Bearapalooza 2024. This episode features a panel discussing modularity with Nick White from Celestia, Sun Deep from Polygon, and John Cole from Hyperlane, moderated by Larry the Cucumber. Enjoy!
Where's the beer, though?
Oh, we're not good. We need beer. We'll get beers after, I promise. Okay, thanks everyone for coming. Today we have some of the founding fathers of modularity speaking on the topic of modularity. I'm Larry the Cucumber, a developer relations engineer at Bearchain. Could we get an intro from you guys? Not that you need one.
Intros,
yeah. John, a founder and CEO at Hyperlane.
I'm Nick. I'm the COO at Celestia Labs.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sandeep from Polygon.
Who's this handsome guy?
Big Bearer. Poly Bearer.
What's your bear name? Sorry?
Poly Bear. Poly Bear.
Poly Bear. I like it. It should be purple. Okay. Really broad question to start off. How do you guys, think of the concept of modularity? What does the modular approach offer?
Well, to us, it really comes down to putting things back in the hands of developers and giving them more optionality and enhanced ability to customize, enhance sovereignty, going back to the roots of crypto, which always were about sovereignty and kind of doing things on your own terms. Modularity is now bringing that back into the hands of a crypto developer, whether they're a roll-up builder, whether they're an app builder. In That's, I would say, the core principle that I think it makes this whole ecosystem so compelling.
I don't have much to add to that. I think what John said about the fact that modular blockchains enable more control and customizability, they open up a whole new design space for application builders. And in addition to that, they give you the ability to have sort of monetize the application you build, so you don't have to sort of give up the value you create to some other protocol or layer. You can capture more of it for yourself. And in addition to that, modular blockchains are tend to be more verifiable and more scalable because they utilize new technologies like data availability sampling and rollups and ZK proofs, like what Polygon is pioneering.
Yeah. So for me, modularity means infinite scalability. Originally, blockchains have generally been built as monolithic architectures, which have always limits of scalability. You have limits of physics, limits of how much you can crank up the infrastructure, the CPU, the compute power. Beyond that, it cannot scale. Modularity brings you infinite scalability and gives us the chance to scale blockchains to the level of internet, internet level scale for blockchains. That's only achievable via modularity. And at Polygon, we are working on this on top of modularity. The aggregated thesis is where modularity brings a little bit of fragmentation across these chains. An aggregated thesis, basically using the power of ZK, aggregates the chain into one single state machine, which can then to the user feels like one single blockchain.
Yeah. Thanks, that's great. Did you have something to add?
I would add on that topic of scaling, right? Think about what everyone in this room is here to do. Everyone here is probably spending most of their life energy trying to increase the demand for blockchains. We're trying to popularize them, commercialize them, bring them to a global audience. And have you done an ETH transaction today? Well, if you have, you felt some pain. Right? Especially in the last couple of days. And so we have really only two approaches to solve this pain. And so modularity, I'd imagine to most people in the room, certainly for us here on this panel, is the decisive best way to do that. Right? Because otherwise, our entire effort is for naught. We spend all this time trying to increase demand for blockchains. We do that. And then we do this thing that ends up being super counterproductive. They don't scale. You end up paying $250 for a simple ETH transfer. That doesn't work. So now we have to meet this increase in demand that we're all spending our energy to bring with an increase in a supply of block space.
Well said, thanks. I like what you said about the aggregation layer being key. You know, it parallels what we saw with rollups in the EVM. You're aggregating transactions, a lot of savings and, you know, value add there. And, you know, just bring that through the stack. And you guys, you know, bring a wealth of history and knowledge in the, you know, scaling modularity space. Can you pinpoint some key moments in this history where the modularity stack or narrative developed? What were some make or break moments?
I mean, you are the modularity daddy, bro.
Yeah, you're the founding father.
So the question is, like, what were the key moments?
Yeah, in the history of the modular stack.
Yeah, I think there's kind of, there's a few. I would say one of the main ones was the when Mustafa Albassam published the Lazy Ledger white paper, because it was the first kind of description of this, the fact that you could decouple consensus and execution. And that if you did that, you could have a very scalable base layer and you could have a very flexible, customizable execution layer. And so I think that was a big moment. I would say in addition to that was a year prior to that, there's a white paper that described data availability sampling for the first time. And that's one of the core technologies that powers the modular stack. And the other key moment was the advent of rollup technology, this idea that you could have provable execution, whether it was ZK proofs or fraud proofs, because it was the combination of those two technologies, those two innovations that enable the modular stack to be what it is.
I'd say those are all like just the foundational moments that without those happening, like, we're not sitting here. And I would say, probably easier for me to do than it is for Nick, because Nick's a very humble guy. But if there was a sort of big bang moment for the modular ecosystem as a whole, it really happened sometime in Q4 of last year. And it happened with the launch of Celestia and actually putting into production the first alternative DA layer. At the same time, you had a culmination of events. You had the rollup frameworks in Arbitrum's orbit, Optimism's OP stack. Those, yeah, they happened before Q4, but by then they were mature enough to support this broadening of the ecosystem. And now that's further being supported by things like what Polygon's doing with the CDK, what different rollup builders are doing, like the Calderas and Conduits and AltLayers of the world. And to some extent, I'm happy to say what we're doing in Hyperlane by enabling the connectivity across all of those in a permissionless way.
Yep. I mean, I think both of them, pointed out the moments pretty correctly. I would also say for us, like, you know, when we started in 2017-18, I think the CryptoKitties moment, like, it was not a very important moment in terms of modularity, you know, being implemented or anything. But, like, it showed us the future. Like, you know, we were also, like, that time, we were also doing, like, me and my other co-founder, we were trying to build some apps and all that. Like, you know, okay, on Ethereum, this pool, let's build some apps. And then CryptoKitties happened and the Ethereum network was choked for like 7 days, right? And that time you realize that, oh, this is like nowhere near what when users are going to come. And then I think that Vitalik's paper around, or like the post around decentralization trilemma, that you can choose only two between, you know, security, scalability and decentralization. I think that's where itself, like, I mean, we didn't know that, you know, this will be called as modularity over time, but, you know, it was very, like, kind of intuitive that in order to solve this trilemma, you can't solve it on one single monolithic chain. You have to break the scalability trilemma. You have to achieve scale somewhere else, mm-hmm. and focus on decentralization and security on somewhere else.
For sure. Thanks for those answers. And it's often been cited that, you know, another key point in the history of modularity was Bitcoin's Lightning network to be able to.
But I was like, I just thought, like, you know, modularity also brings you this kind of mess that you have people sitting for the audience for this, and a lot of people are talking in the back.
Yeah.
This is also modularity. It brings a little bit mess.
So that's
why you need aggregation.
Yeah. It's like, we need a wall aggregate. Is what you're saying.
No, not build a wall, maybe.
Aggregate the people who care about modularity away from the people who don't. okay, sorry. Next question. We've seen a lot, you know, the modularity narrative, you know, to date has been a lot about data availability. Kudos to Nick and Eigen, and Celestia. But, you know, what is emerging as other key focal points within the modularity stack?
Yeah. So modularity stack, like, you know, I think as they also explained, like, you know, there's so much happening on this space, like, as we were talking, like, in terms of bridges and data availability with what Celestia is doing. And super amazing work. Like, they opened up a new category itself. And then you have, you know, roll up as a service providers. You have, like, proving, like, now we are seeing already in the Polygon ecosystem, people are there who are trying to build proving networks, like decentralized proving networks. And so basically there are multiple facets of modularity that is opening up. And like aggregation, like we said that aggregation is also one of those, like, we see that aggregation can be one of the components which can, like, you know, keep the modularity scaling benefits, but also bring in, like, the advanced user UX, user experience kind of benefits and security benefits, creates one single sort of security zone across the modular chains. And that's those are some of the things that are very exciting. Plus, also on the ZK side, like, I don't know how many of you guys are following the developments around ZK VMs that is happening. Like, Succinct Labs recently came up with SP1. It is, you know, also built on top of Polygon Plonky 3. And it's like, so ZK VMs are basically, you can have any custom code, any kind of VM, any custom code written in REST. So, for example, I can write a VM, like virtual machine, which only does order book matching, right? So I create this order book matching code and I pass it through the ZK VM and it gives me a ZK prover. So now I can run a single prover or single sequencer, high throughput or trustless order book exchange that is being fully proven back to a settlement layer like Ethereum. So these are kind of the new paradigms that are opening up. And actually, ZK also plays a very big role in that.
Hello. I'm sorry. Yeah, we need these sort of hyper-optimized, low-latency applications to, you know, to be able to use these things blockchain in the real world for banking, gaming, you know, order books.
Yeah, shared sequencing is also one thing. Like, you know, across these chains, with shared sequencing, you can have extremely fast atomic transactions.
Yeah, sorry, John, any thoughts?
I'd say, you know, I think Sandeep hit it on the head. Where, you know, you can't, I think it's at this point, we can't even talk about the new aspects of the stack without mentioning the roll-up frameworks and the people who make them super accessible, right? The frameworks exist and they're wonderful, but it is without the roll-up providers that, without that, they don't become as accessible. And again, fortunately, talking my book, I'm sorry. I think that a layer that it does not, talked about enough as being a part of the modular stack, it's so much so that I think it's almost nonsensical to talk about the modular stack without it, is the interoperability layer. Because we're talking about a world where at the same time, the cost to create a new rollup is rapidly descending. And it's descending because of everything we just talked about. Everything, all of those things serve to accomplish one of Celestia's missions, right? Which is to make launching a rollup as easy as launching a smart contract. In that world, how does it make sense to think about these chains without a way to connect them? Because if you don't do that now, great, you've sprouted up another island in the middle of the ocean, but you need to have a reliable way for that island to connect with the mainland, with the other continents, and with any other island that sprouts behind it, right? You want to have a prosperous island. You want your rollup to be a prosperous place. So it needs these trade routes for economic activity. And that's what, to us, like, an open framework for interoperability, right? A permissionless interoperability there that lets anyone, without any gatekeeping, without any permissioning, access it and do so with sovereignty on their own terms, that's a critical layer in the stack. But I think by now, pretty much everyone who spends most of their time working on the modular ecosystem is kind of fully on board with that idea. It's no longer, maybe a year ago, it was kind of foreign. Today, where we are at this, you know, modular expansion phase, it's well established. Yeah,
it's happening for sure. Thanks, guys. Let's talk about the builders. You know, when collaborating with modular builders, what kind of core values do you appeal to sort of work most effectively with them? And case studies would be really helpful too.
This, like you said, that what is the core characteristics of the developers we look for?
How do you appeal to them? How do you?
I think, like, you know, that for me, and that's one part I really love about the Cosmos ecosystem is the sovereignty aspect. I think the developers who care about sovereignty, they like modular approach a lot better because they want to control their, you know, user journey and, you know, kind of the user experience they want to present to the end users. And, you know, these monolithic chains, basically I almost like kind of think of them as like communism, where you have to choose that, you know, you have like one chain and everybody just lives as per the rules of this chain. Like modularity offers you that as a developer, like, you know, and I'm specifically talking about the chain developers, not the app developers, by the way, right? The chain developers, modularity offers them an ability to kind of choose their destiny, how they want to structure, how they want to set the incentives and all those things, consensus. So that sovereignty is like one of the you know, biggest, you know, thing that we try to appeal with in the Polygon CDK stack.
Yeah, it's like a philosophical alignment.
Yes.
Thank you.
I think there's a lot of different aspects of modularity that appeal to developers. I think the primary one recently for Celestia has been just simply cost, because most rollups today operate and post their data to Ethereum, and Ethereum's data throughput is very limited and expensive. And so by posting data to Celestia instead, they can cut their costs by 100x. And all of a sudden, rather than being 10 cents or 1 cent per transaction, it's like 0.01 cents. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, this L2 is competitive with even Solana. And so I think that's a massive driver currently. But I think the other thing is just like customizability. One of the values of Celestia, and I think of the modular ecosystem more broadly, is this slogan, build whatever, which is like, there is no one size fits all best chain or stack to build on. What the superpower of modularity is choice and optionality. And we have so many different teams building so many different components. And you as the builder get to pick the best thing for at each layer for your thing. And I think that ability to customize is really a superpower that the top application builders are going to leverage to build things that are much more compelling than you could build on a monolithic stack, like the vanilla EVM or sort of like Solana stack.
Yeah, I mean, very little to add on this. I'd summarize it as, because we get to see all different aspects of these builders, and both of what the guys just said is completely true. I would say you could divide it into two camps with some overlap in between, right? There is some Venn diagram crossing between these two camps. On the one hand, you have the folks who value sovereignty at the top of their list, and there is no other way, no better way, let's call it. Sorry, I'm sure there are other ways to retain that sovereignty than building in the modular ecosystem. At the same time, what we also see a lot of pragmatism. Sometimes you get people who are obsessed with both of those things. That doesn't always happen. But for the pragmatist, it does first and foremost today start with cost, but also does move ahead into their consideration for how much can I customize? Can I get something out of this? And I guess I'll share a story with the audience. There was a team called Lattice that most people might know because they built Dark Forest, the ZK-based game. you would not find a team of bigger ZK evangelists in the world than these folks. And I remember spending some time with them in the early days of Hyperlane. And they come back and they say, hey, you know what? Actually, we're done with ZK. Optimism has built this thing today known as the OP stack at the time, Bedrock. And they said, ZK can't fill our needs. Bedrock is going to. So we are going to build our own chain using Bedrock. That was hardline pragmatism. I remember coming back to our office that day and saying, we have to bet everything on the modular ecosystem. If these guys change their mind from 4 years of ZK evangelism to building in this way, this is going to be a massive trend. And ever since that day, right, this is probably like May or June 2020, we have been dead focused on serving this ecosystem. And again, from a practitioner's perspective, you really feel those cost savings. So Manta is a roll-up that Hyperlane has been operating on. So I could show you the chart of the costs that we as an organization had to endure just for the virtue of paying gas fees on Manta. And it almost looks like it looks like some error happened where the day they switch over to Celestia for DA, it's like the dashboard that we used didn't even know how to digest it at first because the drop was so massive. And so when he says, you know, basically two orders of magnitude, I can tell you from a practitioner's perspective, that's 100% true. And that's a huge difference, right? That's a world of difference for a new team.
Totally. Yeah, all the competitive advantages, you know, are very clearly compelling. You know, you with Manta, Avo using Celestia's DA, and Kanto building on ZK EVM.
Yeah, even so, Manta is actually... you know, using the ZK-EVM. It's going to use, no, they're built on OP stack. They're going to integrate Polygon's type one proving system, integrate into the aggregation layer.
That's huge. Thanks. And so apart from your own projects, what other modular projects, you know, do you think are really spearheading the space and have a lot of potential?
I think some of the ones that you mentioned insofar as being the early adopters of these alternative DA layers. Ones that we're excited about, they're about to go into production, are folks like Mitosis, that's building a liquidity layer to focus specifically on the modular ecosystem. And there's a whole slew of new rollups that are basically coming online. You know, just this week, you saw Kerak, they're launching. That is a team that could have never, you know, existed like a year and a half ago. But now through the advent and maturation of these rollup frameworks, they're able to do that. Through the maturation of a product like Hyperlane, they're able to get their interoperability. And I actually think, you know, it's a travesty for me to not mention, but I would say that the rollup service providers are doing God's work, right? They're making it super, super accessible. And so whether it's Conduit or Caldera or AltLayer, all of them are just playing an indispensable role. And there's a few others that I imagine will be entering the space and will be making a lot of noise pretty soon.
I was also going to mention the rollup as a service teams, but I'll also mention there's a handful of rollups that are bringing new VMs to market in the modular stack. So teams like Eclipse, bringing the Solana VM to the modular stack, Movement Labs, bringing Move VM. We have Fluent and Initia bringing WASM-based execution to the modular stack. So that's really exciting. I am also really bullish on some of the more end-game focused rollup frameworks like the Sovereign SDK, which is a very sort of, it's like optimized for the aggregated ZK rollup future. And I'm also excited about shared sequencers like Astria and Espresso and Radius, who are bringing like the decentralized sequencing to life, because currently right now, one of the flaws of the modular stack is that most projects run on a single sequencer, which is not ideal. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Nick mentioned all of them literally. I would just add some ZK guys, like, you know, I just said Succinct Labs, Risk Zero, you know, Valida, like these are some of the projects which are bringing ZK provability to any kind of custom code. Mm-hmm. So that also adds or supercharges a modular, you know, ecosystem.
Thanks, guys.
I'll say, if we didn't mention you, just it's been a rough week. Everyone here is having a hard time. It's nothing but love.
I only asked for one, so thank you for the 20 you guys provided. A lot of homework to do. So looking forward, what are some hurdles and challenges the modular ecosystem still has to, you know, solve before, you know, full adoption, full scalability? And
I'll go first. And this is kind of a shill for Polygon, but fragmentation is a major problem. And it's kind of, fragmentation and bridging are kind of two sides of the same coin, which is basically these rollups don't have a way to easily connect with each other and easily and securely connect with each other. And so to solve that, we need bridging protocols like Hyperlane. We need better proof systems to make the bridges trust minimized. And then we need to, in the end game, aggregate all these proofs to make it so that the bridging can just be many to many and very like simplified and immediate across all different rollups. So basically shilling like the aggregation layer that Polygon's building.
Thank you. Thanks, Nick. Like what basically Nick, you know, described beautifully is basically single security zone across all the chains. And that doesn't mean that, you know, that like, for example, bridges, like developers are still going to use bridges because bridges will provide them to do this custom, let's say, composability and all that stuff built on top of the base layer of security, right? So yeah, like that part is very, aggregation piece is very important. And then in the kind of end game scenario, it feels like, you know, there will be two parts of this trustless world. Like a large part of them would be ZK proven, like which is mathematical provability. And some part of that will be optimistic, kind of, not optimistic, but let's say, I would say socioeconomic secured, you know, kind of chain. Socioeconomic security means, crypto economic security means like optimistic rollups or multiple validators, like side chains, like things like that. Because whichever chains, the cost of proving with ZK is actually lower than the cost of capital, which can secure those chains, they will probably stay on the optimistic side. But, you know, probably like, you know, for faster interoperability and extremely single security zone network effects, will probably pull everything into the, you know, ZK proven aggregated with like, you know, modular DA, like, you know, with the big projects like Celestia and, you know, shared sequencing, ZK proving networks and all that. And that will end up building this whole new fabric of this trustless Web3.
Mm-hmm. Cool, guys. Yeah, it's really cool that you guys all kind of, we have a consensus on what the main problem to tackle is. It's aggregation. And so, you know, the industry can focus on that with laser focus.
Yeah, the aggregation portion of it, I would say, is the biggest problem that needs to be solved, because definitionally we are introducing fragmentation each time a new rollup is spun up. And I'd say the second biggest problem is then, how does the infrastructure get simpler and more abstracted so that it, again, achieves that mission of, oh, it's pretty easy to deploy a smart contract today. How do we cut that distance between deploying a rollup and deploying a smart contract? And like we said earlier, I'd say the rollup providers are doing God's work on that front.
Thanks, John. Okay, so we're coming up on time. So I'm going to ask one last question. What is your dream modular stack? Execution, settlement, DA, and consensus.
Wait, what's the question?
What's the dream modular stack for you guys?
Oh, like if we had to choose one fighter at each layer.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, consensus and DA, I choose Celestia. Execution, I'm going to politely decline the comment.
Well, say Polygon.
I'm incredibly neutral on the execution layer and settlement layer, too.
I'll say Polygon.
Yeah. And yeah, I would, you said execution. Yeah, like actually execution, like Polygon actually is playing below execution layer, which is the aggregation layer.
Mm-hmm.
And actually on aggregation, we are like very much now like agnostic for it, in the sense that, you know, in our kind of, and you know, kind of the world that we envision, on that execution can be Verachain, right? And execution can be OP stack, Superchain, CDK chain, whatever people want. Mm-hmm. And as far as they are being, you know, being proven together, and then the data availability and consensus is like, you know, projects like Celestia are there. Settlement, I am a big believer of Ethereum. And I believe that settlement, you know, Ethereum is like the best suited, most decentralized, you know, the credibly neutral layer. But on settlement, like, we all know that BTC moves really, really slow. But if someday BTC comes up with like validity proofs, ZK validity proof, then like, you know, things could be, you know, very challenging. But otherwise, it's like, in my mind, it's Ethereum, the settlement layer.
Got it. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening, and thank you to our esteemed guests for their time and for their insights. Please give them a round of applause.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for tuning in. The Next Step features a panel discussing restaking with Serene from Eigenlayer, David from Babylon Chain, and Muto from Ethos. See you on the next one.